Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. With me is Adam Kunz, Head of Trading and Portfolio Manager. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Another Monday. I remember during the financial crisis in 2008, we'd leave the office on a Friday, and there was tremendous anxiety. And then policymakers would work over the weekend. You'd come in Monday, and there'd be this fresh set of news that would buoy the market, and then the market would fade seemingly throughout the week. And it would repeat week after week. It just felt like that cadence. And it's starting to feel like that a little bit now with the kind of the rush to get stimulus in place, to figure out how to buoy the economy. And it has that same kind of feeling to it. And there's no shortage of news. That's the other part that is that feeling, is there's just no shortage of big news that's hitting the tapes right now. So let me kick it off. I'll cover just a general economic review and where we're at, which is of no surprise. And then we'll start to dig into some earnings and then some portfolio structuring issues that we're going to deal with this week. So, as we expected, the second quarter was going to be pretty dismal. And sure enough, the Commerce Department reported last week that gross domestic product was down 9.5%. So the headline you see in the media is, we're down 32% annually. But 9.5 compared to prior quarter is the largest single quarterly decline since records have been kept over 70 years. I mean, it's just amazing how much the economy is contracting. And the concern, the big debate was, hey, are we going to see a V-shaped recovery? And our belief is absolutely not. Until we can really control the spread of the virus, the economy is going to be operating at a reduced capacity and with social distance barriers. So it's one of those, we're really a victim of the pandemic in terms of what we can do from a economic growth standpoint, but both business spending and consumer spending were down. So consumer spending was down 34%, business spending down 27% on an annualized basis. And our expectation is that there's going to be a really muted rebound in the third quarter at this point. And it's basic things that we take for granted, like kids going back to school, fall sports, eating at a restaurant. All of these are being hampered right now. And we're going to see the next round. We expect Congress to do another round of stimulus. And here's where that kind of that pattern, that comparison goes to the financial crisis, as Congress is acting. There's no shortage of businesses that need support. I know the airline industry is asking for more money. Small businesses is in line to get another form of assistance. And then the consumer, that's the new model here, is let's just give the consumer money under the belief that they'll spend it. And that's really where some of the friction is starting, is that we're seeing consumers actually taking that money and saving it. So it's not translating dollar for dollar into economic growth. So the question, and this is in the face, Adam, of lower interest rates, I want to shift over to that with you then, is that interest rates are near all-time low levels. So the bond market is looking at this and saying, hey, we've got a slowing economy coming. The stock market is looking at this with the rally and the current levels, saying this is a blip. We're going to return to normal earnings here. And when we discount future dividends back to the present, this is just a minor blip. Then the question is, who's right? And that's really the conundrum. And our belief is right now the bond market is spot on. And the question is, how long do we stay here? So with that, I'm going to shift it back over to you, and let's cover some of the what's going on in the bond market as well as corporate earnings.
Yeah. So on the earnings side, last week was a pretty heavy week, very heavy in tech. So we had Apple, Facebook, Amazon, and Qualcomm on the tech side release, and all really, really good earnings. And just to preface this, is a lot of the earnings we talked to up to this point, they beat because they had a really low bar. Mm-hmm. And they have, declining earnings. It was a different story last week, where you had tech actually showing growth. So whether you're looking at Amazon, where overall revenues grew 15%, or their cloud-based business grew 29%, you had Facebook, it was up double digits as well on a revenue growth standpoint. Like I said, Apple selling more units, growth there. And then Qualcomm was one of the bigger stories. Overall license growth was up 19%. And then also they were able to call back royalties from Huawei of $1.8 billion. So stock was up 12%. So on the tech side, a great story. The QQQ or the NASDAQ is up 25% year to date now. So significant difference from S&P, which is up 2%, or the small cap, which is down 10%, or international equities down 10% year to date. So really the market is completely driven by tech.
Hey, a shout out to Terrence Zhang, who's in Shanghai now, and you're talking about tech. Listeners might remember Terrence as our Chinese analyst, and he was not able to participate in the lottery for a visa, and so ended up having to go back to China. So he just texted me this morning, texted you also.
Yeah.
So he is working as an analyst, equity analyst, feet on the ground in Shanghai. So
I'm excited about it. So
yeah, we'll get some of his views. He had some strong views. He did not like my China ETF strategy, which actually worked out. I want to point that out to Tim. Okay, go back. Sorry about that.
But yeah, also we had energy last week. But one of the big stories was Apache really showed strength and some better finds on the well side. So stock was up. Bonds rallied significantly. That's a story that looks like it is. It was priced in that kind of distressed level. It was a double B security after being downgraded, and we see this now as an upgrade candidate on the bond side. So last week was a pretty good week for earnings, and the S&P didn't really show it because of economic data.
On the flip side of that was the energy sector, and so a whole slew of big international energy companies released, and Chevron and Royal Dutch, two of the largest, had asset write-downs, which contributed to the tank in their earnings. But Exxon reported a loss of $1.1 billion, and I didn't see a significant write-down in assets. And the big issue is, can they continue to support the dividend? They won't write down assets where the rest of the industry is. So it's going to be really telling in the second half of the year to see what happens in the energy industry and how Exxon shapes itself going forward to be competitive. So on the bond side, let's shift over to what's going on with credit and municipals. Anything that you're seeing?
Yeah. So, I mean, you nailed it, is that the bond market is showing a different sign. That so rates were down large moves last week. So the 10-year is now at 52 basis points. So that is actually hit a fresh low. So in March, the low was 54 basis points. I know it's marginal difference, but to be back at the lows, bond market is definitely saying, hey, there is more trouble ahead. You saw negative yielding debt globally spike from $14 trillion to $16 trillion last week. So overall, rates are on the decline. And I guess corporate bond market and municipals are acting more like stocks. Mm-hmm. So conversely, spreads are continuing to tighten. So last week, we saw spreads tighten generally, both in municipals and corporate, about 3 basis points. So right now, a 10-year triple B corporate yields under 2%, or at 1.98.
Did you see high yield last month had the best month since, 1998?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. It was solid.
Yeah. So overall, high yield has tightened 570 basis points from March highs.
But look at the long line of companies going bankrupt.
Yes.
This morning, we had Lord & Taylor and Men's Warehouse announced. And so this is just, it's mind-boggling that you have this kind of performance in the face of credit deterioration. I've never seen a wave of credit deterioration. We were talking about this in the fourth quarter of last year, was we were looking at a potential shift in the credit cycle. And we were thinking, hey, this would be just a normal, big ship in the Mississippi River making a turn kind of a move. And 60 days of an economy shut down just has pummeled corporate credit, and really revealed industries that weren't efficient in the first place, and some that are obviously COVID affected. But man, you look at the cruise line industry. Mm-hmm. All they needed was that one breakout,
right?
And it's, again, you would start to mothball those ships, and you look at anything in the entertainment industry, and we're about to see it. You know, I'm still scratching my head with the fall football season, and now the University of Wisconsin, how we're going to defend our honor, but I don't see how we can sustain it. If we sustain it, it will be one of the miracles of this. But I don't see how you can put people in a close quartered stadium without.
I think I would do what hockey's doing, which is empty arenas and just hope for the best, I guess. But yeah, Bloomberg has a bankruptcy index, and it's doubled over the last several weeks. And so we're back above 2016 levels when energy was going through its struggle.
I think we're still in the fourth inning.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting week. So what's on the docket this week from a portfolio standpoint?
So on the fixed income side, it's continued to try to diversify. So we've used credit through this cycle, but as spreads continue to tighten, we talked about mortgage-backed securities, and we're looking at the higher quality agency, and you're honestly just trying to find any assets that are less correlated and can give us some reasonable diversification in the portfolio, because right now it's really hard to find. On the equity side, we're continuing to move up in quality into the lower volatility strategies, reducing the equity basis, reducing international, reducing small cap as we continue to rally. And honestly, just as valuations continue to get stretched, if you're looking, we're talking about tech, but it's trading at 30 times earnings, which is an all-time high. The S&P is now at 23 times earnings. So valuations, just no matter where you look, are stretched. So continuing to play defense.
It used to be, I'm going to shift to the broad bond market index, the AG, and this is a huge warning sign, but you talked about bonds acting like equities, and I think you're spot on in some regard too, that the broad market index, the US AG, has lengthened now so that it's almost, what, 6 years?
Over six years.
Yeah. And so back in 1996, about 25 years ago, the AG was 4.5 years, 50% of the AG was 5 years and shorter in duration, and you could fund at a coupon rate close to 7% without taking on significant risk. That was how capital markets worked back then, and corporations accessed the market. I mean, it was a freely traded market. Today, it is vastly different. The duration on a 10-year bond, because interest rates are so low, the duration on a 10-year bond is close to 9 years. So when you look at the stratification of the index, 60% of the index has a duration of 5 years and shorter, which is unusual. I would have actually thought it was longer, but the durations on these 30-year bonds are close to 25 years. It's just stunning how the low interest rates have altered the shape of the aggregate index. So it's something that as bond managers, we want to be sensitive to. It's forcing us to change how we structure portfolios. But the hardest thing we face is getting income, driving income through the portfolio now because rates are so low. So so something to watch there. Anything that you would add?
I got nothing else.
I got one thing. My son got married this last weekend. So we had a small wedding, 20 people, everyone wearing masks 6 feet apart. I've never seen anything like it, but it was a nice event. But I'm thinking, as we look at wedding photos in our family, like over the gen, we have 100 years worth of wedding photos. This will be the photo that people look at over. Why are they wearing masks? So hopefully this is a moment in time. We've marked it our family with a wedding recently. So we just keep moving on.
Yep.
Hope for the best. And thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you during the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.